And all God's people said,
Amen.
And all God's people shouted,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, young people. Thank you, PAS trio, guitar trio. And thank you so much, Copper Bell Choir. It was wonderful music. Thank you for just giving joy to the heart of God and to all of our hearts on this day as we've worshiped together in the name of Jesus. It is good to be together as a family of God today. Amen? It is just so good to be here. Leanne and I have been... Where are you, Leanne? I can't see. There you are. Okay. Yeah. We've just been so much looking forward to coming and being part of your church family. And it's so interesting because, you know, wherever we go, we discover this, the reality, and you know this already, but that is that wherever we go, because we know Jesus, we're part of the same family. And we aren't strangers. And it's just fun to make new friends and to see old friends, people we've known for many years, as well as people we've never met before. But already we're together in the family of God, rejoicing in His goodness. So thank you, Stone Tower family, for inviting us here. Elder Lee, thank you for your invitation to be part of your congregation today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's pray together as we open the Word today. Lord God, we thank you for this great privilege to be together in the name of Jesus as the family of God gathered to worship you. And Lord, our hearts have already been blessed as we have sung these praises, these carols that remind us of the greatest gift you ever gave in giving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now we pray for your Holy Spirit to have freedom to work in our hearts and our minds. Speak to us, Lord. And may we be open to the leading of your word and your spirit through the word as we say yes to you and to your call in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love being part of the family of God. And this is part of the privilege that Leanne and I have had. Since we retired, we went, oh my, after 24 years in our church family, it was like we lost our family. And thankfully, at that point, Adra came and said to us, hey, would you come and would you be an ambassador and just tell our story around the Northwest, just wherever you can go, wherever people invite you, come share the story of that. We said, yes, we'd love to. But only, well, especially if we can share the gospel at the same time. Oh, yes, absolutely, they said. So I think about this call that we've had in the, I don't know, honey, is it 8 or 10 churches now that we've been to and been able to meet new people and worship together and to rejoice in the goodness of God. And we're just so privileged to be able to do that here today at Stone Tower. I love being part of the family of God because this world needs hope.
Amen.
This world needs hope, and it's, there's so many things broken and so many things, so many people that are hurting and so many things going wrong right now. We just look around, we just go, whoa, what's happening? Last night, a friend of ours shared that twice yesterday, he was in two different stores, grocery stores, and one of his job is to go and he goes and actually purchases groceries for people that can't get out and purchase for themselves. But twice in two different stores, he was there. And he was in the car still, sitting there, and all at once out came a man with two teenage children, arms full of things, running and racing out and throwing it in the trunk. And the dad saying, quick, get in. And they had taken this without paying for it. And they were racing out, and they almost hit somebody as they tried to speed out of the parking lot. He just thought, oh, what happened? He went again later in the day. And that day, someone loaded up a grocery cart full of food and other items, and then looked around, and then bang, went, and the alarms went off. He went through a door he wasn't supposed to go through and raced out through the... And he said, what is happening in our world? There is so much brokenness in the midst of so much need and so much... What did Jesus say when he said, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold? We're in that time. We're in a time where we look around us and go, oh, wow. This world is in trouble. This world needs help. This world needs Jesus. This world needs the Jesus that you and I know. And we get to be, no matter what's going on and no matter who it is, we get to be the people of hope. We get to be the people that shine the light of Christ into the darkness. And I love those words there in John chapter 1 where he says, the light came, he shone in darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Thank God we can be part of that family, part of those people called to give, to fear God and give glory to Him, as that first angel's message says, and to be the people who in this world, in the midst of everything, love like Jesus loves. That's what our world needs. The world needs people that love like Jesus loves. I may date myself. In fact, I'll date, probably some of us will date ourselves when I say, there's a song that I remember from when I was a teenager. And it went like this. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing there's just too little of. Yeah, there it is. And this is the call of God on you and on me, that we would be those people, starting where? Who said that? Thank you, sister. We start at home. It's home, right in our home. Boys and girls, PAS, so glad you're here today. It's really fun, Principal Green, for us to be able to be here and see you again. We were able to be there at school with you yesterday, and then to see your young people again here today. But young people, my parents used to say to me when I was a kid, and we had four kids in our family, and I was the oldest, and we would, well, we didn't always get along the best. You know, we were, I want this, that's my toy, and all whatever it was. And then whenever guests would come, like we'd have a friend over, and when our friend would leave, my mom would turn to us and she'd say, I wish you'd be as nice to your brother and sisters as you are to your guests. I wish you'd be as nice to your brother and to your sister as you are to your friends. Love starts at home. It starts right there, and we learn to love in the hardest place of all, which is at home, because we see each other and we know when people are happy and sad and grumpy, whatever it is, didn't get enough sleep, all those kind of things. We get to learn how to love right at home with our mom and our dad and our brother and our sister. But then from our home, we have neighbors. And neighbors are people around us that, this is hard to believe. I know, and I can't even believe what I'm saying this, that I've been Seventh-day Adventist pastor, and I've lived in the same house for 28 years. How could that be possible? But that's the way God has led in our lives. That means in 28 years, the Lord has led me to get to know a lot of people in my neighborhood. In fact, the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, you have a job, and my job for you is that you shine the light of Jesus in this neighborhood. And so I have this routes that I walk, and I get to know people at different, and I also realize that people kind of walk at different times, and there's ecological niches where everybody does thing at the same time of the day, and I get to know people in different ecological niches based on what time or what of the day that they walk or whatever they do. And God is, He says, just get to know them. Just go get to know your neighbors. Just go knock on a door and say, hi. We're George and Leanne. We live over here in this little cul-de-sac down over here. And just wanted to say hi. And, you know, oh, isn't this great? Here's some cookies for Christmas. I mean, think about who it is that the Holy Spirit's been whispering to you, the neighbors near you, that you could actually reach out and befriend them. Just be a friend. And just doors will open as you and I are kind to people. People are hungry for love. People are scared. People are not sure what's coming next. And when someone is letting the love of Christ shine through them, you and I get to be these people who love like Jesus, His call on our lives. It's our neighborhoods. It's our workplaces. Yeah, the place where we work. Ladies and men, I mean, wherever we're working, those guys, those women that we work with, those are people that we can touch with the love of Christ. The guy who pumps my gas, the lady who's checking me out at the grocery line. These are all people that need to hear the love of Christ come through us. If they're not going to hear it from us, who are they going to hear it from? So, I knew the Lord had laid this on my heart, and And here we are walking in our neighborhood, and we kind of walk the same routes or whatever. And up until, this is hard to say, but up until the end of January last year, we had two dogs. We lost one August a year ago, and then Charlie, that was Sisu. Do anybody, any of you kids ever remember Sisu and Charlie in Mrs. Gaynor's classroom? Oh, they were sweethearts. And Sisu was a golden retriever, just the most loving heart. She was just an ambassador of goodwill. By the way, this is something to think about when you buy your dogs, families, that you get a dog. For example, if we had bought a pit bull, I'm not sure this would have worked the same. Okay, I'm not putting anybody down with a pit bull, but just notice, I have a golden retriever. I walk up and everybody, oh, I want it. And I get to meet everybody I go, everywhere I go. People love goldens. And then Charlie, he was this little rescue dog from up in Tushy up there near Walla Walla. And he had been out there. He was kind of coyote bait, and someone caught him and brought him in. And my son brought him home from college, and he became our dog. But they're both gone now. But I used to love walking him there. And of course, you walk a dog, you know, if you're going to be a good neighbor, then you do the right thing, right? So, anybody ever seen one of these things? Okay, so there it is. Yeah, so I'm walking along, and sometimes I notice that there are people that also, there are other dogs, a lot of dogs in the neighborhood. There are people that did you realize, there are people that sometimes forget to bring these along. Have you ever noticed that? And so I'm like, well, man, why did people, and so I'm just, I go into my judgmental mode and all this kind of thing. And I'm walking along one day and I said, oh, someone forgot again. And the Holy Spirit just kind of said to me, he said, you have a bag in your pocket? I said, yeah. He said, use it. What? He's right. And he said, that if your grandkids were here, our grandkids live all over the place. We have 5 grandkids in Maryland and 2 in Wenatchee and 2 in Sublimity, and they're all spread out. But when they're home, I'm always like watching, because watch out, don't walk on the, if you walk where the grass is, stay on the sidewalk, because you might step. If your grandkids were here, they'd step in that. And there are other people who have grandkids in the neighborhood, but okay, so, by the way, I want to say this piece right now. Don't be afraid to shake my hand as we go out. I really scrub well before I come to church, okay? Scrub very, very well. But I said, okay, so, oh, man. And so, and the Lord told me, he said, do unto others, what did I tell you? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. This is your job. You mean this isn't just a one and done? Uh-uh. It's your job for next week? No, for the neighborhood. For the neighborhood. Whew. And so, if I was going to be obedient to this Holy Spirit, I thought, okay. I said, Leanne, honey, pick up extra bags, honey, when you're at the store. Ay, ay, ay. So, I start walking around with these things. Well, we have some neighbors, and my neighbors we have a lot of neighbors, but one set of neighbors said, I got to know him and I got to know her, and they were very clear that they were agnostic, and that was their word, their own word. I'm agnostic, and you can believe what you want to believe, preacher, and stuff like that. And because they knew I was a preacher, and what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. You can do what you want to do, but anyway. Over the years, interesting conversations. I mean, over 28 years, they had dogs die. We had dogs die. And my friend, he says, by the way, I'm calling my friend because I helped him paint his house. He helped me paint my house. We started getting to know each other. And he said to me, when he had one of his dogs die, he just felt sad. He said, someday what's going to happen to us. I said, what do you mean? He said, we'll keel over and they'll throw us in a hole and throw dirt in our face. And he said, then it's just, that's it. It's all done. And I said, well, yeah. I said, unless that story is true. And he said, what story is that? I said, well, story about a guy in a grave that on the third day, it was like it opened up and he can't. He said, you can believe that stuff if you want to. And I said, hey, I'm telling you, if you'd been there, you run your hand down the cross, you would have gotten a splinter in your hand. It's that real. It was that real. And he goes, you believe what you want. Well, over the years, he got sick a number of times, and I would go to visit him in the hospital. And I'd go, and we'd have a little, you know, short visit together, and then I'd say to him, hey, before I go, could I pray with you? And he said, preacher, you pray in your own house. And I said, okay, I'll be praying in my house for you, man. Okay. He wouldn't even say, okay, you just got, So that happened two or three times. And the last time we were together, this was before we went on our trip to the Southwest, honey, and I heard he was sick and not doing well, and I went in to see him. And before we left, we had this visit together, and before I said, would it be okay if I pray with you? And he said, if anybody needs it, I guess I do. Whew. We took off on our trip, came back, and he was gone. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. You say, after 20 years, and how many times? After 20 years, so he's gone, and then one day I'm walking out here, and both of my dogs are gone, and I'm walking along, and I have extra bags, so, and I'm walking along, and sure enough, someone forgot, and so I'm there picking up, and his wife sees me and says, what are you doing? Your dogs are dead. I said, yeah. She says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm... She says, you're... And she was just like stunned. Well, I thought, okay. And I went ahead and, you know, did it. She kind of... And then, several weeks later, she was walking with another person, another friend in the neighborhood. And she saw me, and I didn't see them, but all at once I hear her go, are you... And she yelled across the street. There was on the other side of it. You're picking up... And I said... And she turns to the neighbor, and she said, that's the guy that picks up all the dog poop in the neighborhood. She points at, that's the one. Well, I was walking after we parted, and I walked, and suddenly it hit me. I thought, guess what? God is using this to get inside her head. God's using this to get inside her head. Oh, that's why you told me to do this. Wow. You mean you really want us to love like Jesus loves? Yep. I love the fact that in this Adventist church, there's something called ADRA. And ADRA stands for Adventist what? I heard both words. I heard Adventist disaster. I heard Adventist development. Guess what? It's Adventist Development and Relief Agency. But the relief part is a relief for disasters. That's what we know. So yeah, it's Adventist development, but the development part is to go to places where people need help and just to help them do things that will make their lives sustainable and bless them. So we're going to watch two short videos. The first video is a short video from Cambodia, and you're going to see, boys and girls, did you know that there are people in the world that don't have a bathroom, either inside or outside their house, and how important that is for good health? You're going to see something in that story of helping this family and to grow food and do. So you're going to see that's called it, and that's from Cambodia. The next one, the boys and girls from PAS saw yesterday, and that's the story of a teenage girl named Roslana, telling the story of how her family had to flee for their lives when the war started in Ukraine back in February. And so there's a two, by the way, her story is sad. She's going to cry in that story. But boys and girls, hold on and remember that she's telling the story and her family has gotten out. We pray that her father is going to be protected as well. But let's watch these two stories of what it looks like to love like Jesus loves.
Our living conditions were bad. We didn't have a toilet. We used the bush around our home. My name is Tia Kong. I am 55 years old, and I am from Cambodia. Seeing my children face these problems, I felt helpless. So we would drink any water that we could find. We got diseases, vomiting, diarrhea, coughing. We were taking traditional medicines as I didn't have money to go to a health center or hospital. Atra talked with me about raising chickens, growing veggies, having good sanitation, and building a good latrine. This made me feel hopeful.
This project has been very important. It has changed their life. They have received a lot of benefits from the project so far. The children get more healthy as well as hygiene and sanitation, and a lot more.
Since we received a latrine and a water filter, our family is better. Atra brought change to my family. Our kids could have good health and they are able to go to school.
I love my mom very much. She works very hard to care for me. Now I can go to school.
They are now getting a good education. It is setting them up for the future. It's a big difference. Life is better than before. I would like to say thank you to Atra and the supporters who have helped my family to change our lives. Thank you.
We didn't think that we were hungry or we couldn't take shower because there were no hot water. We just were thinking about, are we going to stay alive today or are we going to die? And we were only praying all the time, and thanks God we are still alive.
I'm Ruslana, I'm staying here in Poland at the church. My family are refugees from Ukraine.
My mom, my siblings, sister and brother. Unfortunately, our father, he's a preacher and he's left in Ukraine.
When the first day of war started, we hoped it will end soon, but it didn't. And the worst part was that our city, Bryansk, was occupied on the second and third days of war, so just from the start, and we couldn't leave the city at all. And the pharmacies, the food stores were completely empty. People couldn't buy food or even like simple medicines. And also we didn't have any network, or we couldn't even call that we are alive. And our grandmother, she was so worried and we couldn't tell her that we are alive. It was so bad. Majority of us don't have relatives or friends here, and the only people who help is church. The church gonna give us a chance to have future and help us with the basic things.
And here's a bedroom, so we slept here. And it's quite comfortable, it's warm here and nice. And we are really glad that church provided us a place to sleep in.
Jesus never asked, who are you? What is your nationality? Are you a good person or a bad person? He was open. And I think this is a good example for us. When we are helping others, it's like Jesus' hands will be through us. We change because of Jesus, of his impact on us. And we want to be his hands. We want to be his feet.
The global humanitarian agency, ADRA, which is
the Venice Development and Relief Agency, ADRA, based here.
Right
now, the organization has people in and around Ukraine, helping the hundreds of thousands of people flee.
The groups here at home are getting involved as well.
The Maryland Aid Group is going much farther, 5,000 miles farther, to provide direct help.
Forward in providing shelter to refugees in centers and church buildings.
ADRA volunteers cross the border themselves into Ukraine, this convoy carrying supplies.
When they said, like, Don't worry, you can feel like at home here, and we will help you because we are your brothers and sisters in God. They just supported us, and that meant so much.
And all God's people said, wow, there are people this very moment today in Ukraine and in Cambodia, Mozambique, 130 countries where ADRA is at work, even places like Yemen, Islamic nations. There are people that are there serving in the name of Jesus, loving like Jesus loves. And that's the invitation that you and I have. It's not about nationality. It's what we know is we belong to Him. We're the family of God, called to be those who love like Jesus loves. And that's why I was so thankful when ADRA came to me and just said, would you be willing to be part of this and tell our story? And I said, you want me to raise funds? They said, no, you're not a fundraiser. Just tell our story. God will touch hearts. And as you leave today, there are all kinds of supplies out there on the table. I'm happy if I don't take anything home. So please, you may have anything you like there. But this is, I look at these stories and I see, but let me share another one. Madagascar. In Madagascar, the farmers grow peanuts. And they're growing their peanuts, and then they would bring the peanuts and they go to the local market. And they get to the market and they would sell in a year. They would have a total of maybe $250 that they had earned income of that year from their peanuts. And one of the ADRA guys looks over there and he said, hey, I was in Switzerland and I saw that there's a company in Switzerland that sells peanut butter and peanut products. But the advertisement on it, it says, you know, their point of sale is they say that these peanuts were grown on land that has never in all of history been sprayed with pesticides. And he checks, sure enough, they'd never been sprayed in Madagascar. He goes and he calls the guys up. These guys fly down, they meet with the farmers, and they say, never been sprayed, and these are the, and the guy says, we'll buy your peanuts. So they buy the peanuts, and guess what? These farmers now, instead of $250 a year, earn $2,500 a year. Times 10, they can send their kids to school. They can go to a doctor. They could all because of an ADRA volunteer who saw and made a connection. So I look at this and just say, wow, to love like Jesus loves, this is the way I want to live in this world. You too? Amen? So here's the question. And this is the question of the morning. And I had shared with you that I want to share the story of ADRA in the context of the gospel. And here's the question of the morning. And that is simply is, we've seen how ADRA loves like Jesus loves. Is this the gospel? We're thinking very carefully. And that's true because you're thinking, well, is he asking a trick question? Let me ask it a complete sentence. Loving like Jesus loves, is this the gospel? Or is it the fruit of the gospel? Scripture tells us in Galatians 5, the fruit of the gospel is love. The gospel, what verse would you pick, boys and girls? Is there a verse that you go to the Bible and say, this is a verse that I can repeat that tells us what the gospel is? John 3:16. Let's repeat it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the good news. The gospel, let's define it this way. The gospel is about what God has done for us to save us in Christ Jesus. That's the good news that you and I, as the family of God, are given to share with others. But now let's not stop. Let's keep going. Has anybody memorized 1 John 3:16. Yes, good. Let's try to repeat it together. 1 John 3:16. Hereby we perceive the love of God. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do we have more verses there on that? Let me just add to that. because I think I forgot to share this other verse, and that is the next verse. The next verse says this: if anyone has this world's goods, verse 17, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. The gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The fruit of the gospel, the root, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. The fruit of the gospel is that we are to lay down our lives and we share with others. This is like any living plant. The root and the fruit must always be and are always distinct, but never separate. Always distinct, never separate. You and I get to be part of this thing God is doing in the fruit of the gospel as we live out with joy in our hearts because of the root of God's great love for us in Christ Jesus. Do you like that? That way we don't get confused. There's no confusion. It's root and it's fruit, and we keep these together and we live the love of Christ. Now, ADRA has chosen as its motto verse, the verse from Scripture as its motto, Micah 6, 6 through 8. And I want to say thank you to Caleb for having read our Scripture this morning. He did such a nice job, but let's read these. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Now, well, I'll go further. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Do you see what's happening here? In this verse, and hold this verse up there, please. With this verse, he's saying, well, should I come to him with this? All around the world, wherever you go, you're going to find people practicing religion by coming and giving something to God in order that God will accept them, or that God will bless them, or that God, the gods, won't hurt them, or damage them, or be something awful happen to their family, or that they could appease him if they give enough. Have I given enough so God will actually, all around the world, by the way, this is the default position of the human race. I said it and I'll say it again. The default position of the human race is, I give you this, God, and then you'll give me that. I give you this, you give me that. There's this transactional relation mindset that says, that's the way the world works. So it must be the way it works with God. So I give this, then you give me this back. I give this to get that. Right here, he's asking the question. Shall I come with rams and goats? How about 1,000 rams? Or how about 10,000 rivers of oil? Would that be enough? Now here comes the biggie. And this is the biggie all the way down through history. Shall I give the firstborn, my firstborn, for my transgression? Did you know, those of you who've been to Jerusalem know this, but the Kidron Valley is out there, there on the east side of Jerusalem, and across the Kidron Valley and that brook or that river, you go up and that's where the Garden of Gethsemane is, and then the Mount of Olives. But that, did you know that when Solomon was there, and one of the wives that he married from another country came and brought, and they actually built a temple to a god, Moloch, who would stand there and would bear there and a fire stoked inside to lay little ones on in order that someone would come and say, I need God. I'm going to show God how much I love it. This is the same thing that God, remember when he was with Abraham? Abraham, take your firstborn son, offer him as a sacrifice. There's this, and God is doing that with Abraham in order to break this thing and to go, stop. Don't do that. There in the thicket is a ram caught by his horns. You bring him. I, the Lord says, you don't appease me. No, no, no. I love you. I will propitiate my own wrath against sin in the person of myself, my own son. I'm handling this. Don't you go this way. Shall I give the firstborn, my own firstborn, for my transgression, of my body, for the sin of my soul? Shall I do that? Oh, no, no, no. And what's he say next, verse 8? 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. what the Lord requires of thee. Do justly. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. This is all response to, because you've got to take the book of Micah and go, Micah is a prophet, and he's way down the line, and you take your Old Testament, and you go, but he's downstream. Micah is downstream from the Exodus, where God came and the blood of the Lamb on the post, and he set his people free, and they crossed over the Red Sea, and they were set free. They've been liberated. And now, as a liberated people, he then says, now I'm going to give you my Ten Commandments. Does anybody remember the first words of the Ten Commandments? Anybody remember those words? Listen to them. Here they are. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Therefore is understood here. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God always acts first. God acts, God gives. He's the one who gives and sets us free and liberates us. And then he turns around and says to us, now, here are ways, these Ten Commandments, these instructions, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. These are the ways for you to stay free. But God always acts first. You and I, we don't go and appease an angry God. Oh, no, no, no. We have a loving God who propitiated his own wrath against sin himself at the cross in order to set us free. That it's all gift. I'll never forget the day. And our oldest son, Matthew, who's now 40. Thank you, honey. I was going to say 46. It's 44. Okay, thanks. But Matthew was a little one, and I had on a morning bicycle ride. It was very early, and it was in Ohio where we lived, and pastored there just starting out, and there was a tree, and the leaves, it must have been somewhere in the, not spring yet, maybe it was March, but the leaves were off the trees, and the sun came up behind. It was a misty day, and here's a tree with all the mist, and the sun came behind. It was shining through that tree, and I just stood there with my baby, our baby, and I just looked in there, and all at once, the Holy Spirit gave me words. It's all a gift. This is all gift. Every heartbeat, every breath, every day of your life, it's all gift. Whew. That means if my religion, and then I read this, and it just jumped, if your religion is grace, gift, if your religion is grace, then the rest of your life is, thank you, gratitude. The rest of our life is gratitude for the gift that God gives us. This is an amazing good God. There's a reason they call this thing good news. And that you and I get to be part of the family that shares the good news and the hope that we have in Christ. Now, you received in your bulletin this. Now, deacons are ready to hand this out. Deacons are, Jeffrey, are you guys up there? Yeah. If you didn't get this and don't have this in your hand, they have copies to hand you. So anybody that doesn't have one, just raise your hand and the deacons will give it to you. But we're going to take a quick look at this. And with that, there's also going to give you a little sheet of paper that is called Christ the Way of Life. And that's a piece that you have as a takeaway today to review. But let's go ahead and dive into this. Now, boys and girls, I was told that I could go till 1 o'clock. But I'm not going to go till 1. But I am going to be a few more minutes. So stay with me. We're going to go right through this. But notice, look at this picture first. Is it up on the screen? Yes, there we are. Good. Okay, so there it is. And even with my eyes as old as they are, let's see. Copyright 1876 by James White. It's the Way of Life, Paradise Lost to Paradise Restored. And as you look at it, you see on this, and what James White did is he went and it was voted, the dollars were voted, and they hired an artist. And the artist painted this to symbolize and picture the Adventist message in the world. This, by the way, was the high tech of their day. Okay? You know, what's happening up there with Fred and the guys up there, this was the high tech of their day, was to have a painting that they put up on the platform. And so there it was. And what they said was, we want a picture that represents Revelation 14:12, which says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So on the one side, yes, there it is. They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Let's go back to that first picture again, if we could, brothers. On your left, but on the right-hand side of the picture, what you've got is you've got the tree with the law, and you have the angel, Adam and Eve leaving. You have Cain, who has just killed his brother Abel. You have a sacrifice for sin. You have the Ten Commandments. That's what we learned in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And then on the other side, the faith of Jesus is what we've learned in Christ and what it is we're called to do, and how we're called to live for Jesus and to accept Him and receive Him there at the Lord's Supper at the table, baptism, Lord's Supper. And if so, what they the way they taught it was this. Get ready. They taught it this way. If you'll do everything that the Father commanded us in the Old Testament, and if you'll do everything the Son commanded in the New Testament, you see up in the upper right-hand corner of your picture? Then you can go to heaven. How are you doing it? Doing everything. You see? This was the picture that James had painted and he was presenting. By the way, does anybody know how many rules or laws there were in the first five books of Moses, the Torah? 613. The rabbis counted them up. When Saul, the Pharisee, says in Philippians 3, he says, according to the keeping of the law, I was blameless. What he meant was, I had a check mark on all 613. That's what he's saying. 613. And then, of course, there's all the rest of the Old Testament. Guess what? I went to two of my brothers I was talking with, and this was a few years ago. We were talking after church, and one of them said, well, you know what? They said, the Old Testament was so hard. The New Testament is so easy. It's just two rules. Love God, love your neighbor. Man, I'm so glad. And I said, how you doing at that? Guess what? There are more rules and more laws in the New Testament than there are in the Old. Skip McLarty tells us in his book, on In Granite or Ingrained, there are more rules and laws, like, when Paul writes his letter, you go, Jesus saved us. He died on the cross. He rose again. We have salvation in His name. And then he takes the next step. Now, because of that, live like this. Do this, do this, do this. Don't do that, don't do that. There are more rules and laws in the New Testament than in the Old. Uh-oh, what in the world? So there it is. Now, here's the part of the story that very few of us have ever heard told. And that is, this is in Woodrow Witten's book called Ellen White on Salvation. She wrote, and he has in his book, he's a professor at Andrews, just retired. She said, on his deathbed, James said to me, get ready for this. On his deathbed, James said to me, Ellen, we gave them the wrong picture. You ever wonder why there are two pictures? I thank God for that. Praise God that James appealed to his wife on his deathbed. He dies in 1881. It says here, copyright 1883. Please move to the next page, the next picture. And the next picture, there, and it, what, and this one, the title now is Christ, the Way of Life. Wow, Christ, the Way of Life. And look who's right in the middle of this thing. I had someone say to me, well, Pastor, the Ten Commandments have disappeared. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you see lightning over there? And you see a mountain? That's Mount Sinai. No, they haven't disappeared. But guess what? Do you see the man that's hanging on that tree? He's the man who said, I always do my Father's will. Which is the fulfillment of the new covenant promise in him, in his own person. The Lord says, in the new covenant, I'm going to write my law on your mind and on your hearts. On your mind, you'll know what I want, what God's will is. You know what I want you to do. You'll know what God wants you to do. And in your heart, the heart is the organ of desire. And you'll actually want to do what you ought to do. I got to tell you, This is the beauty of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When those days where I do what I ought to do, and I even want to do the right thing, that doesn't come from me naturally. That's a gift of God. And when that happens, I am never more free than when I want to do what I ought to do. Again, why? No wonder they call this good news. And I love the verse when I look at this picture. It's the same picture otherwise, except Christ is now central. And as I look at that picture, I say, wow. And there's heaven there waiting for us that begins in Christ right now. And I say, praise God for this opportunity. And the verse of Scripture is 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter, look what it says. He himself, who he himself, the ESV says he himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree. He himself, the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb, bore our sins in his body on the tree. And by the way, it's the whole ball of wax. He's taken it all. The sins of the whole world. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin. We might die to sin, live to righteousness. Now, boys and girls, watch how I do this. Die to sin, live to righteousness. What am I doing that pastors do? Baptizing. And I ask you, young people, please have ears open. As the Holy Spirit whispers to you, I have 7-year-olds, I have 6-year-olds, I have 9-year-olds, I have 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds. People in your age who the Spirit of God is calling and saying, come and say yes, be baptized. If the Spirit's speaking to you, don't delay. Don't say, well, I'll do it next year when I'm this age and I'll do it at this place. No, just say yes. Say yes and be baptized. And when we're baptized, we die with Jesus, his death. We're united with him in his death so that we'll be now united with him in his resurrection. And we come up out of those waters alive in Christ and the Holy Spirit poured into our lives that enables us to, says, what does he say? He himself bore our sins in his body that we might die to sin, live to righteousness, for by his stripes, his wounds, we've been healed. We have been healed, and we are being healed, brothers and sisters. That's why I love the gospel. This is not just, we're not just doing theology here. It's like, oh, the pastor up there, he's really doing theology stuff. Theology, what is theology? Theology is when Jesus, watch this, Jesus says to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Boom. Lazarus comes out of the tomb. He is a dead man 4 days. Boom. He comes out of the tomb and he's alive. And what's he wrapped up in? Grave. And he's like, okay, here he comes out of the tomb. And Jesus says, hey, guys, go over there and set him free. That's what theology does. Good theology. Theology doesn't save us. But theology, Jesus saves us. He's the one that makes us alive. Theology is what we share in the church to help set each other free in Christ as we live according to his word. So having said that, we're going to dive into this very, very quickly. Christ, the way of life. The condition of eternal life is now, today, just what it's always been. Okay, what's that? What it was in paradise before the fall of our first parents. What is the condition for eternal life? Here it is. Perfect obedience to the law of God. Perfect righteousness. I've written in the margin on my sheet, 100%. Teachers, I tell you, I used to love to get that 100% with that red pen, 100%. Now I'm looking at it going, 100%? If that's a condition of eternal life, how do I get there? If eternal life were granted on any condition short of this, the happiness of the whole universe would be in peril. The way would be open for sin with all of its train of woe and misery to be mortalized. I think of Cain. Cain comes, the Lord comes, he says, Cain, and he goes, yeah, he said, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He cops an attitude. What if Cain had dropped on his knees and gone, God, in a fit of anger, I murdered my brother. Be merciful to me and sin. Would God have forgiven him? Amen. Yes. The Lord would have forgiven him right there. He would have forgiven him. But now, let me ask it this way. Okay, step up and ask a question. How many say God forgives sin? Five of us, six, seven. Okay. How many say God does not forgive sin? Well, there's one hand in the room. God does not forgive sin. I'll repeat that. God does not forgive sin. God forgives sinners. What does he do with sin? He makes atonement. Does God forgive sin? No. King, I murdered my brother. Oh, I'll let this one go. I'll forgive that one. Are you kidding? The whole universe would be in peril. Oh, I'll forgive that. Oh, we'll let it go this time. No. God does not. He says to Cain, Cain goes, please forgive me. I forgive you, Cain. There's another little issue here is your brother's blood is crying out from the ground. I'll answer that cry for blood with my blood, my own blood, the blood of my own son. Brother, don't ever separate the father and the son. They are one in this. Not two. There's no three parties in the atonement. No three. No, no. Just two. Father and son are one. Sinner and father and son are the two parties in the atonement. Amen, brother. It is so... This is the truth that set me free, man. And I tell you, that's why I everywhere I get to share it, I do it. Let's hasten on. Here it goes. It was possible... Next paragraph. It was possible for Adam before the fall to form a righteous... It was possible to form a righteous character by obedience to God's law. I wrote 100% next to that one. Before the fall, yes. But he failed to do this, and because of his sin, our natures are fallen. We cannot make ourselves 100%. Anybody live long enough to know that's true? Since we are sinful and unholy, we cannot perfectly obey the holy law. We have no righteousness of our own with which to meet the claims of the law of God. But Christ, we've got to do this right. Hit it hard. But Christ has made a way of escape for us. He lived on earth amid trials and temptations such as we have to meet. He lived a sinless life, 100%. He died for us. Now he offers to take our sins and give us his righteousness. Now, what do they call this stuff good news, right? If you give yourself to him and accept him as your Savior, sinful as your life may have been, and even is now, as your life may have been, for his sake, you are counted righteous. 100%. Christ's character stands in place of your character. You're accepted before God just as if you had never sinned. I love this in the English language. Justification, just as if you'd never sinned. These two first two paragraphs, Ellen White in Great Controversy wrote how many chapters on Martin Luther? Five. More on Martin Luther than anybody else. Boom, five chapters. This is the message that Luther brought and recovered from the early church to the church in the Middle Ages. But then she moves next to what Wesley brought. And Wesley brought and said, justification with Luther, sanctification is what Wesley taught. And that's the next paragraphs. Here we go. More than this, Christ changes your heart. Here's transformation language. He abides in your heart by faith. You are to maintain this connection with Christ by faith, by the continual surrender of your will to him. This is where you and I are living right today. And he's saying, I'm doing this for you, and Christ is going to change our hearts through his Spirit. So long as you do this, he will work in you. He will work in you to both will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you may say, the life that I now live according to the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Yes, justification. And then the next phrase. So Jesus said to his disciples, it's not even you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of God is actually working with us. We're together, yoked together as he works through us. Then with Christ working in you, you will manifest the same Spirit and do the same good works, works of righteousness and obedience. So we have nothing in ourselves of which to boast, no ground for self-exaltation. Our only ground of hope is the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, 100%, And in that worked out or wrought in us by His Spirit working in and through us. And all God's people said, this is the privilege you and I get to live in this reality. In living in this reality, it allows us to be those who love like Jesus loved and shine like Jesus shines in this world. Matthew 24 says, and we said it earlier, but and that was simply that because of lawlessness, the love of many has grown cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And that endurance word, the one endures, is the same word as the word for patience. Here's the patience of the saints. Keep the commandments of God in a time of lawlessness. Are we living in a time of lawlessness? Oh my. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in a time of lawlessness, and the faith of Jesus, which Matthew 24:14, this good news of the kingdom gets preached to the whole world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. And it is closer now than it's ever been. We are living on the verge. And this is the moment for you and me, and especially boys and girls. I've lived my life. In about a week, honey, a week and a half, I'm going to be 71 years old. I've lived my life. I thank God for the privilege. Amen. But boys and girls, your life is ahead of you. And right now is the time to say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Him, and then walk into those waters of baptism to die with Christ and be raised with Christ, that you can be part of His light. We're going to sing together this wonderful song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and His Righteousness. Let's sing it together. Let's all stand together, lift our voices in praise, and may offer a prayer as we do this. Lord God, we give ourselves to You. We say yes to Jesus. And as we sing this hymn, may it become the story of our lives today and every day we live, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.